You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Matin Air on Air. My name is Greg Bach. I am your host for today, sitting in for Jane, who is away, vacating, well-deserved, hopefully relaxing. She misses you. She told me so. And I want to welcome you to a wonderfully packed show today. I got Calvin Butenhoff on the board. Say hi, Calvin.
How is it going, friend?
It is going well. We have a really, really great show today. We got a lot to talk about. At 9:35, we're going to be welcoming Emily Cephos to the show. She has written a new article for the Recombobulation Area, which if you don't already, please subscribe to the Recombobulation Area. She is the Outagamie Democratic Chair as well as community organizer. She's going to be talking about the Democratic Party and what they need to do to get some confidence in them and have, you know, she wants to give ideas on how they can be seen as the answers to what is happening against the Trump administration and what is happening to America and what is happening in Wisconsin. So she will be joining us at 9:35 to talk about that article. In the 10 o'clock hour, at the top of that 10 o'clock hour, Miranda Dunlap is a journalist for Wisconsin Watch, and she has written an article on a problem in Brown County, which is the fact that they have a huge deficit in 911 dispatchers. We're going to talk about how that came to be, what they are doing to mitigate the problem, and how they can possibly implement a plan through independent review. That's coming up at the top of the 10 o'clock hour with Miranda Dunlap. At 10:35, special day, Calvin, very special day. It's audio sorbet with a side of gripe.
I'll have the gripe sound effect ready in a second.
Okay, so if you don't already know, the big news has come out to the social medias, as the kids say. Social meds, that's what the kids say. I'm sure, Calvin, that's what the kids say. Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce are getting married. They announced it. Pictures are online. They're on the social media, so it's official. And I'm very, you know, I have thoughts. I have a lot of thoughts. I have some sorbet thoughts. I have some gripe thoughts. Not what you may think. Don't assume. To find out, you have to stick around. 10:35 is when we do that. That's audio sorbet with a side of gripe. And then we're going to wrap up everything with this shouldn't be a thing at 10:52. This today is the window or aisle seat edition. So stick around for all that. It's going to be a great, great show. If you'd like to get in touch with us, you can do that. Very simple. Call or text. It's the same number, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC, or you can leave a comment on the live stream. The live stream is available by going to Facebook, YouTube, or the place we still call Twitter. So get in touch with us. Let us know your thoughts. I'm going to pose a really big question based on this first thing I want to talk about today. Story coming out of WPR.org. Royce Padeswa has the byline on it. It says, Wisconsin's cash-strapped schools, school districts likely to turn to voters again for more funding. We just passed a budget. Didn't we just pass a budget? We passed a budget through with what I thought was bipartisan support. And to be perfectly clear, Calvin, and you were here for this too, we found out very quickly within a day that it did not have bipartisan support. Many Democrats were very, very upset about this. About this budget that's going to be going through. We heard from Corrine Henderson, who is now going to be the former owner of a childcare center because there isn't enough funding for childcare. But we're going to talk about education. And the question I want to ask you folks is, are you tired of having to go to the polls to raise your own taxes? When does the state actually take responsibility and fund our schools properly? Properly. Keeping up with inflation. Being at least at the average of school funding in this country. Are you tired of it? Calvin, I don't know if you had a question on your ballot last year. I did. I live in Kenosha. There was a question to raise our property taxes to give an influx of cash to Kenosha school districts, to the Kenosha school district. And I voted yes. And if you don't know me, I do not have children. I do not have a child in school. I do not have a child at all. But I voted yes because if this is the only option, then I'm going to invest with my property tax dollars. My property taxes already went up anyways, but it doesn't matter. They're going to go up any further. I voted yes. I voted yes because this is an investment in our children. When is the state, and when I say the state, I mean the Republicans who control the state house, going to actually do something? In November of 2024, Robin Voss went on Upfront on WISN talking about education, and he had his left hand planted firmly on his shoulder to give himself all of the pats for doing a big boy good job. Calvin, can we play that clip really quick?
When Wisconsin enacted that budget, we had the largest increase in education spending in literally a generation since 2004, 2005. So we did our job to make sure that we had enough for schools, for health care. We had a large increase for nursing homes, all kinds of good investments in our top priorities. We just had a huge investment in education. We saw referenda around the state where the people of Wisconsin, as we've said, they have the right to raise their own taxes. We're not going to do it. So I think it's a perfect opportunity for us to say, let's put the money back in the hands of people who need it for themselves.
The billions in referendum, doesn't that show, though, that education needs more money from the
state? Absolutely not. It's the opposite. There are some parts of Wisconsin where people want to spend more money, and they have every right to do that. If they want to raise their taxes at the ballot box, I support that idea. The idea that we're going to do it for them and take the burden on for every single district if it was the same, that's just wrong for the state.
855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC is our number. Call or text, leave a voice note. You can do that through the Civic Media app. If you don't have that, go to your favorite places to find your apps, download it, and contact us. Call us. I want to hear from you because, honestly, this makes me... This is an interview from November of 2024, and Robin Voss is talking about the biennium budget of 2023 to 2025, where they're talking about the greatest investment in education in a generation. It's easy to invest your greatest amount when you barely give any to begin with. This school system in Wisconsin is chronically underfunded, and I'm going to touch on that with Emily Cephos in the interview we do after the bottom of the hour news break, because she touches on that in her article for the recombobulation area. But we are seeing over and over again that Wisconsin schools are not being funded enough. There's no funding for K-12 in this new budget. There's funding for other programs, and that's great. Mental health, but according to WEAC, not enough. There's an increase in special education funding, but in my opinion, not enough. This is not good policy. And to force the people of Wisconsin to go to the polls to raise their taxes to fund the school system, which the state should have a buy-in on, is ridiculous. And now, according to this article on WPR, we're probably going to have to do it again. Communities funded, communities approved, communities said yes to billions of dollars in funding from southeastern Wisconsin to the Northwoods. They said yes because we understand that investing in our schools yields good results for society. I said earlier, just before, I said, I don't have children. I do not have children in school, but I said yes to a tax increase. That was my choice. I understand that. I did the numbers in my head. And by the way, that measure in Kenosha, Calvin, failed. The people of Kenosha said no. They said no to that increase.
Well, I did not have a referendum on my ballot in the fall or the spring. But just, I want to say 5 or 6 years ago, I grew up and still live in a small town that has a small school district shared between two communities. And we had a referendum where a larger community neighboring us was attempting to basically dissolve our elementary school in our town and take it over. And just things like that. And luckily our town shot that down. But if we were receiving proper funding, it wouldn't have even been a question.
Yeah. Yes. Agreed. Greg on the live stream. There's a Greg on the live stream. Not me. I'm not on the live stream right now. Greg in the comments on the live stream just says simply BSRV. BS Robin Voss. I am tired of Republicans taking, and some Democrats, I'm not going to lie, taking credit for doing so much for school when they're not doing anything at all. This is a press release from the Wisconsin Policy Forum that was published in the Monroe Times a couple weeks ago. Wisconsin spent $14,882 per pupil on public elementary and secondary education in 2023, that fiscal year. That's 9.9% less than the national average of just about $16,500. Where is the state? Where are they? Dude, I mean, I know Robin Voss is very proud of his largest increase in education in a generation, but I've said before on the show, Calvin, if I've never given you a single dollar in my entire life, if I give you $5 today, I can't go run around saying I have loaned Calvin more money today than I've ever loaned him in my entire life. I can't say that. This is not an investment. This is monies being given to various programs, which, again, great. We need to fund education fully. But when we're giving no money to K through 12, the state is saying something to us. The people in charge are saying something to the parents, to the kids, to the community. I voted yes on that referendum. I voted yes for more dollars. I voted yes to up my property taxes. Because I understand personally that children who receive a good education from K through 12 do better in life, could possibly get better jobs, contribute more to society, and create a community in which I can benefit from, whether it's through leadership, whether through business, whether it's just through benefits in the community as far as what's available, as far as services. I mean, you can't put a specific end game to all of this, but you can look at the data that says when you invest in education and you invest in children and you do it with the dollars and you do it through partnerships, federal, local, state, there are benefits that are yielded. That is why I voted yes. And I don't know about you folks, if you're listening right now, but according to this article, we might be going back to the polls next year to vote ourselves another tax increase. And when do the people get weary? When do you say no more? When do we say, hey, Madison, hey, Robin Voss, how about we don't wait a generation? We do it now. Well, we're not going to do it now because the budget already passed and they've afforded no money through that. So I guess we're going back to the polls. I want to know what you think. I want to know how you feel about this. 855-752-4842. 855-75-CIVIC is the number you can call or text. You can also leave a comment on the live stream like Greg did. Thank you very much, Greg. Everyone on the live stream, hello. Howdy. We have a great show for you today. I'm very much looking forward to talking to our guests. As we said before, at 9:35, Emily Cephos is going to be here to talk about her new article in the recombobulation area. And then at the 10 o'clock hour, Miranda Dunlop from the Wisconsin Watch is going to be here talking about Brown County and their shortage of 911 dispatchers. But don't go anywhere. Stay close. Stay cool. Stay amazing. We're going to take a moment to get some water, get some snacks. But when we return, we're going to hear from you, talk about this topic. I guess we're going back to the polls. It's back to school and back to the polls. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. Talk soon.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt and Aaron Air. My name is Greg Box, sitting in for Jane, who is taking a well-deserved rest. We miss her. She misses you. She misses us. Welcome back to the show. If you want to get in touch with us, you can call or text 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Call that or text it. Same number. It's good. Leave a comment on the live stream. We are on Facebook, YouTube, or what we still call in this house, we call it Twitter. We're talking about an article from WPR that says that people are most likely going to have to go back to the polls next year to vote on referendums to fund schooling. And I want to know what your thoughts are on this, because frankly, we've done it a few times. We've said yes, but eventually the people might get tired of it and start saying no. And that's when I ask the question, Madison, when do you step up and do something? When do you actually fund in a real way? Not in a way that makes you feel good, not in a way that you can tell your buddies in your press releases, but in a way that actually yields results for our children. You talk about how terrible public school is. Well, do something about it. You have the purse strings, so you do something about it, because we have already paid enough in our taxes and we're tired of raising our own taxes to do it because you guys seem to fail every time. We're talking to people on the phone here. We got Carmela in Milwaukee. Carmela, it's wonderful to hear from you. What say you on this topic?
So on this topic, of course, I have a lot to say. But yeah, what my question is, what does happen if we say no? Yeah, obviously it wouldn't come up until next year, but we say no, then what happens? And that concerns me because then just like our last, like you were talking about, it wasn't bipartisan, but we were forced to take this deal because then what happens if it doesn't get passed, then they revert back to the previous one. And then there's no new funding and no other outlet. So let's say we do get fed up and we say no. That's my concern, because the powers that be will then decide, or it'll just revert back to archaic times and there'll be even less funding.
Yeah.
So
and
it's like a vicious circle. So yes. What happens?
Well, you know what happens, Carmela? And that's a fabulous point that brings me to the ultimate goal of all these conversations we have. MyVote.wi.gov is the place where you go find your representatives' names, phone numbers, and addresses. You can find them, go to their offices, you can call them, talk to them, tell them how you feel. But also, we have elections coming up next year, and there are going to be people running for office. And I really implore you to look at the options for your candidates, because there are going to be people out there, Carmela, who put education as a number one point. And if those are the individuals we want, it's our duty to go out there and get ourselves educated on the candidates. Vote them in so they can do something. Because as you say, Carmela, it's almost like we just kind of have to take it. We have to. What choice do we have? There should be a choice. There should be a choice. Right now, Wisconsin, according to this press release from the Wisconsin Policy Forum that I referenced earlier, Wisconsin sits 26th amongst 50 states for money we spend per pupil. And I don't know about you, Carmela, but I think we can do a lot better. And I think it's up to us to, you know, if we have to say yes to the referendums, we do that because we understand the investment. But also we have to find the candidates who put education, our kids, our communities first. MyVote.wi.gov to find out who represents you. Tell them how you're feeling about this topic and other ones too. Please always be respectful when you call as well, because it's probably an aide or an intern calling or answering the phone, not the person in charge. So, Carmela, thank you so much for calling. I always love hearing from you. It's great to hear your voice again. Jack from Merrimack is on the line. Jack, what do you say about this?
Well, first of all, let me give you a little of my background. This is from my experience. I've had over 40 years of teaching. I taught in public schools, private schools, parochial schools, at literally every level from sixth grade through university. And the problem that we have is that our state legislature has seen fit to fund private schools at rates that are higher than over three quarters of the public schools are funded in the state of Wisconsin. The amount that they're giving as private school welfare is now something approaching $1 billion a year. That needs to be phased out as soon as possible, and that money needs to be returned to public schools, because for every nickel that's pulled out of public schools, that has to be replaced. And it's in order to do that, you need these referenda. Now, here's some of my first of all, a couple of years ago, Ruth Cunniff in the Wisconsin Examiner did a study of how, you know, are private schools really doing better? And the answer is that in English and in math, public schools in the gold standard for conservatives of standardized testing, public schools did almost 20% better in both English and math than private schools. So private schools are not the answer. Supporting public schools is the answer. My experience in private schools also, they've got no required standards. There's no accountability, and here is what happened at one parochial school.
Well, Jack, I'm sorry. I gotta cut you off there. We're coming up against a commercial, so I gotta bop out of here. But I appreciate your call. I appreciate all the information. And honestly, Jack, yes. The whole discussion about the voucher program is one that we don't have. I could talk about that for decades, and that is another great way of finding funding, is simply not funding an entirely separate school system for private schools through the tax dollars. But we will talk about that more in the coming weeks and months, because we always have that top of mind as well. But Jack, you are absolutely right. I appreciate your call. Before we get out of here to go get some hydration and get some snacks, I just want to let you know, you can always call or text 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Don't go far, because when we return, Emily Cephos, who is the Outagamie Democratic chair, as well as a community organizer, will be here talking about her new article about the Democrats and what they need to do to find some trust within the people. Available on the Recombobulation Area website right now. Don't go far. We'll talk to you very, very soon. You're listening to Matt and Aaron on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. Good morning. Welcome back to Matt and Aaron on Air. My name is Greg Box, sitting in for Jane Matt and Aaron, who is currently on vacation, and she just texted me again and says, yes, I still miss every single one of you. Thank you so much for being here, joining us, sticking with us through the show. I want to share with you, before we get started with everything, share some breaking news coming out of Minneapolis right now. There has been there is an active shooter at Minneapolis Church and Catholic School in South Minneapolis. Governor Tim Walz has confirmed the shooting at a Catholic school on the south side of Minneapolis. This is all coming, by the way, NBCnews.com. ATF agents have responded to the active shooter reports, and the FBI is aware of the reports as well. Minneapolis Mayor Jacob Frey says that they are monitoring the reports of the horrific violence in South Minneapolis, and the emergency response team has been activated. As we know more, we'll share with, of course, but it is absolutely a tragedy what was going on, and our, you know, work as this happens oh so many times, too many times, I should say. But I'm very excited, though, to have as our guest today, she is the Outagamie Democratic chair. She is the Chair of Chairs, that is the title. Chair of Chairs is like first of the house, mother of dragons, mother of chairs. Emily,
I need to come up with something.
Yeah, exactly. Emily Cephos is our guest. She's back, friend of the show. I've been here many times. Love having her here. Emily, hello, welcome. How are you doing today?
Hello, Greg. I am doing well, and I'm excited to be here with you this morning. So thanks for having me on.
Of
always
course.
A pleasure.
Yeah, always love you having around. And when I contacted you earlier, I said, what do you want me to call you? Like, well, your title, and you gave me like your chair of the County Chairs Association, Outagamie Dems chair and community, or just mom, wife, just what? Super lady. You do a cape fight crime.
I like it. I should think of myself more. I'll have more energy maybe if I perceive myself that way.
Exactly. Yes, exactly. Superman never gets tired. You wrote a new article for the Recombobulation Area, and its title is very simple and very to the point: How Democrats Can Rebuild Trust. Because in 2024, a message was sent for the voters, and I am not a member of the Democratic Party anymore, and I have a lot of thoughts on this matter, but it feels like, and I know it's less than a year into the second Trump administration, but for me personally, I feel like there's a lot of work to be done on the Democratic side, and I love to get your thoughts on whether we're talking, county parties, state parties, national parties, there's a lot of work to be done. Where do you see the first steps need to be taken, Emily?
Sure. I mean, we know that we're polling as a party at a 30-year low at this point. Like, we are not great at this juncture. But one of the things I wanted to point out is that not only is there, I think there's a perceived connection from like the tippy top of the Democratic Party to those of us that are on the ground, like just fighting for democratic ideals. Mm-hmm. And so I really want to bring that power back to the grassroots, to the people that are living in the communities that are just showing up for their neighbor and being like, look, I mean, frankly, like if we're being honest, Greg, like it's a two-party system and it's not perfect. And mm-hmm. so there's a lot of criticisms that I could also give to what's happening within the Democratic Party. But I know that in the way that we're structured with our government, that is the vehicle that we need to be pushing for at this point. And that's like how I perceive it. But I think that there's a lot that we can do at the grassroots, at the county party level, like with our neighbors, to further like the cause, the ideology, and to build a lot of like power and trust back so that we can make the headways. We can start chipping away at the mountain, as it were. But all the while we're doing the right thing for our neighbors. And I think we forget about that. We're kind of waiting for someone to show up on a white horse and like carry us off into the sunset. And that's simply not going to happen. So let's take the power that we have like right here, right now, and start to utilize it in our own communities.
I'm going to quote from the article that you wrote for the Recombobulation Area, specifically with regard to the perception of the Democratic Party. It says, a recent survey showed our party's favorability at a net minus 32, which has been, which is the worst it's been in three decades. And I think, you know, I think you nailed something right there with regard to there's so many, there could be so many cooks in the kitchen, because you've got, you got your local parties, you've got your county parties, you've got your state parties, you got, and everyone wants to talk and everyone wants to see the table. And I understand that. And I think what you're discussing is probably the best start, because you can only control what's in front of you. And something that, you know, cannot be disputed, I know, because I worked on the Obama campaign in 2008. I think one of the things that really made a difference was setting up all those offices in communities, knocking on doors and talking to people. If you look at the numbers in 2000, where I was working in Wauwatosa, they voted 100% for George W. Bush. In 2008, they voted 53% for Obama. Now, some will say, well, that's not much. That's huge. In from 2000 to 2008, that's huge. And I think that speaks to what you're talking about of the grassroots level, the discussions, the community conversations. And I think that's where we can do the best good, is by just having those good talks with people.
I mean, I think that's how you break through the noise, right? Like we are, you are being bombarded with information, whether it is from news channels or from the, you know, the money players, I guess, when it comes to our politics. But what, to your point, what makes a difference is talking to your neighbors. And I think that we need to employ all of the people that care about their communities in that way to do, start doing that again, because we're able to silo each other off. And we too often are like, politics is taboo. That's what we're taught in the Midwest, as far as like our culture is concerned. And we need to get back to connecting the hurt that people are feeling outside their front door to the policy decisions that were made to lead to that hurt, because oftentimes it is politically tied. And frankly, people are working too hard to like dig into the weeds about like what the legislation was, what passed in committee, who did what. So we need to do that for them.
I mean, I get paid to look at the news every day from multiple news sources. And sometimes people will say, did you hear that story? I'm like, how did I miss that? Or you have to remember, oh yeah, Trump said that 3 months ago. I can't believe I forgot that. I feel like this was the first election in 2024 that podcasting really played a part. And that's a whole new level. Social media came in, that was one level. Podcasting especially, because you saw bro podcasts having on all the quote cool people. And I'm going to say this, and I know people don't like it. I think one of the reasons Donald Trump won in 2024, and you might not like this, as a brand, he's cool. He has cool branding, cool merch. His, you know, he said he's the guy who's like, hey, you want to have Taco Bell for breakfast this morning? Let's do it. You can do it. You're American. And people hook onto that thing of just like what that brash individualism. And that came across in a whole new medium. And so now in 2025, Democrats are left saying, what do we do next? How do we do this? And as you put in the article, it doesn't come with a slogan, and it can't be finding the Joe Rogan or hoping for a blue wave or new Obama. It's about really doing the work and investing the time.
Yeah. And I think like to your point, like that we, you know, when we meet every month in Appleton and we're talking through like what we're going to do next, it's about recognizing the fact that like we can't control what's going on like with podcasts, right? Like we can't control who they're going to, you know, fall in line for or do whatever with when it comes to the next, like the midterms or the next presidential. We can control what we're doing in our own communities and who we're talking to and how we're saying it. And I think like that is what's keeping me at this point as someone active in this political space from like curling up in the fetal position and just like kind of being like, all right, 3.5 years, we're going to white knuckle it. Like, it's really reassuring to know that if you actually do that work and you dedicate yourself and your team to doing that kind of work, you will see that you can make those inroads, that you can start to have those conversations. It is not something that people are like adverse to. It's simply because they're sucking in like the podcasts and the ads and the social media stuff, and no one's coming to counter it. Yeah. But you just need to counter it in a way that is community centered. And I think that we'll see a lot of progress that way.
If you're just joining us on Matt and Aaron Air, we're speaking to Emily Cephos, who is the chair of the Outagamie County Dems. Wow, words tough. Who knew? And she is our guest today. We're talking about her new article in the recombobulation area entitled How Democrats Can Rebuild Trust. And yeah, I mean, it always comes down to that conversation. It always comes down to having a talk at a dinner table. And it can be and honestly, it should be uncomfortable if you have disagreements. You should push each other to figure out why you believe in something and where do the foundations of your belief come from? And I'm talking about everybody, by the way, not just the people who come to Thanksgiving once a year and ruin it with Trump talk. I'm talking about yourselves, your friends, because there's a lot of self-reflection that needs to come after an election like 2024. And one of the things in your article, you talk about a story where you raise money to pay off student lunch debts in the Freedom Area School District. And you say something very important there that in there. It says, I know some of these people who gave money are Democrats.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think it's like showing up, right? And doing the right thing for people. And I think when we raised about $1,600 for Freedom Area School District, which is a fraction of what they end up with every year. And I would encourage you all to look into your school districts because it is appalling, mm-hmm. the amount of debt that they are straddled with. But when we did that, it was to just say, we're just raising money. We're raising money. It's all 100% of it's going to the school district. They need it. It will help to alleviate some of the stress that they're feeling. And then when we did it and people asked why, we said the reason that these school districts are straddled with tens of thousands of dollars in lunch debt is because we've been underfunding them. And so they have nothing to grab from. There's no piggy bank that they can take this money from because they are already in the red on so many other issues. And if we'd fix some of that stuff, we wouldn't have to do this as a community. Mm-hmm. And so we connect the hurt. We connect what is happening at our local community schools to the policy choices that have been made that have led us to this consequence. Because again, we need to be connecting the dots in every way we can.
And that's something we were talking about earlier before you came on the show. I was discussing the WPR article. It says that most likely voters are going to have to go back to the polls to yay or nay referendums to fund our schools. And I don't know if this question just sounds dumb, but when are people going to get sick of this? When are the people going to stand up and say to the legislature in Madison, do your part? You're not doing enough. You think you've given money. I think it's adorable you think about that greatest investment in generation. That's a great thought, Robin Voss. But you haven't done enough. And we saw that in the last budget or the budget we're in right now and the coming budget. So now it's up to us, the people like me who have no children, to say yes or no. And at some point, I understand when people just want to say no.
Well, and you're they're not only doing the underfunding, but they're also simultaneously maligning the work that's being done in our schools. So they're saying we gave them all that money. They shouldn't, they should be thankful kind of thing. And then you as a citizen that might not be as engaged, that might not understand all of what's happening in Madison are saying, you're right. I just raised my property taxes 4 years ago. Why am I doing this again? You must be wasting it because that's what they told me. And so we're discrediting our public school systems and the goal is privatization. We need to say that part out loud.
Oh yeah. And we said it earlier too, is like there'd be a lot more money in the pot if we just stopped funding an entire second school system in this state, but that's a whole other conversation. We can keep going after we go grab some snacks. But before we do that, that's the other, I think that is a big problem though, that Democrats have to reckon with. And it's been kind of the worst kept secret in the world. When Republicans say, we gave you the money and the schools still aren't doing good, why do you want to raise your taxes? That's an easier soundbite to digest and repeat to your buddies than it is to say, here's the information on why the system is failing us right now. And people are like, I don't want to learn. I don't have time to listen to this. I've got things to do. So we're going to keep this conversation going with Emily Cephos, who is the Outagamie County Dems chair, also author of the new spot in the recombobulation area called How Democrats Can Rebuild Trust. Don't go anywhere. We're going to keep it going. We want to hear from you. Call us, text 855-752-4842 on Matt and Aaron Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. My name is Greg Box, sitting in for Jane Matt and Air, who is currently not here, but she loves you. We are talking to Emily Cephos, who is the chair of the Outagamie County Dems, and we are discussing her new article in the recombobulation area entitled How Democrats Can Rebuild Trust. And we're discussing that. If you want to get in touch with us, you can call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, or what we in this house still call Twitter. And something that I want to quote really quick from that article, Emily, is what you have right underneath that title. And I think this is an important aspect of the conversation, because there's reckoning that needs to be done. There's self-reflection that needs to be done post-2024. Is that, here's the quote: "We don't need to wait for permission. We don't need the perfect polling memo or a six-figure campaign budget or even consensus on every issue. What we need is already here." And I think that's an important thing because, again, say what you will about the GOP, and I've said this for a long time, they vote together, they stick together, they win together. And that is something the Democrats have always had a problem with, is that we have an issue. Issue whatever. Take whatever issue you want to pick, one of the big ones. There can be a general consensus, but then there's always going to be voices from either further left or center left, mid, who muddle the discussion where we can't get things done, and then nothing gets done, and then you look like you have no ability, and you get tagged as whatever they want to call the left. But I think if they just sat down and said, look, we're not going to agree on everything. This is a big tent, a lot of people. We're not going to agree, but can we just at least say we want to start here and work towards this next goal, and then so on and so forth?
Yeah, I think that, like, one of the things I say often is, like, we can't let perfection get in the way of progress. Mm. And it's hard, right? Because under that big tent, you have people that are experiencing the world in a different way than, yes, like, I am as a white woman, for example. But really, like, it's important right now, and what we're saying, you know, when we're talking to other organizations in the area and when we're working through some things, is like, we're rowing together. We have to be rowing together. Mm-hmm. And yes, there are going to be differences in how we'd approach it or what we want that end goal to be, but there, we don't have time to waste. And I think, like, mm-hmm, that's pretty much the point, is that we don't have time to waste because so many things are falling away right now. And it's just really important that we're gathering all the people that we can to make, you know, as much of an impact as possible.
And I think you bring up a good point too. There are folks out there, and if you've not watched the live stream, I am a white gentleman living in Wisconsin, full of lots of privilege that I realize I have. And listening to those voices of whether it's younger people or older folks, people from a different background, and instead of saying, well, we've got this, we know what we're doing, trust us and we'll move forward, bring them in, support, mm-hmm, them. I think that's one of the things we see with certain elections around the country, is you see the Democratic, you know, the big machine, the brand name of National Democratic Party saying, this isn't what we're doing. This isn't who we are. Well, no, it's, but I'm in the tent. Listen to me. I want to help the people in my community. Going back to what you said earlier, Emily, these are the conversations I've had with my people, my community. This is what, right, we need to get done. I need your support. And there needs to be leadership that understands that, instead of saying, well, just you wait for a while. That's not how it's going to work. And that it just sows more dissent and more distrust within the party.
Yeah. And I think, like, an important part of that too, is when you're, you know, the same way that we're having conversations with folks on the other side, right? When we're talking to Republicans and we're like, I really just need to understand your perspective and how you got to whatever rabbit hole you might have gone down, or whatever your belief system is. Same thing within the Democratic Party, right? Like, so that if I'm more centrist and I'm talking to someone that's super far left on our spectrum, to say, tell me why, like, what you're doing is so important, kind of thing. So I understand, like, coming from a place of curiosity, but then offering in that same kind of vein of respect, with that far left person, like, but here's how we need to format that so it fits into my community, so it's not just something that they can spin, mm-hmm, right? Like, because we need to make sure that we are, whatever we're talking about, make sure that we're focusing on the issues that are most impactful, that are not going to be spun in a way that is completely like a turnoff for people, but we're still working toward the end goal where, yeah, everybody fits and you're getting those things done.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is a challenge to a lot of people who identify on, you know, whether it's center left, medium left, mild left, whatever it is, yeah, listening to younger people speak about their experiences and what they need from a partnership with this country or with their state or with their community, to not discount their needs, their wants, and their desire is based on their age or, quote, inexperience. Well, you don't know anything. You're not married. You don't own property, blah, blah. It's like, it doesn't matter. It matters that they have needs and they need to be heard, because when you don't listen, they walk away and they don't vote. And they say, right. Well, why do I have to, why am I part of this system? You don't care about me.
Mm-hmm. I know. And to go up to, going up to doors, for example, in rural Outagamie County is something I did a lot of last year when I ran. And it was a lot of those folks are just like, no one's coming for me. And at least Donald Trump says I can have, like a taco in the morning, or like is speaking to me like a friend would, that you want to get a beer with or whatever. And I think we just need to start showing up again and not being afraid to just be like, I'm here out of curiosity. I want to know what you feel. I'm going to push back on you and you're welcome to push back on me. And let's get to that greater understanding. So I think it's like the community aid piece. It's also just treating folks with respect and making sure that you are like having the conversations rather than just completely writing off any one person or any group of people.
Absolutely. And I think that's an important point to bring up again, too. It's not just about having the uncomfortable conversation that you want to make someone else uncomfortable to self-assess. It's about, what are they going to say that challenges your own beliefs? Be ready to be uncomfortable, too. Emily Cephalos, thank you so much for being here today. I love talking to you. I'm going to have you back real, real soon. You can read her piece, How Democrats Can Rebuild Trust in the Recombobulation Area. Subscribe to that right now. It's super affordable. It gets you great coverage. Won a bunch of awards, including, who knows, maybe Emily Cephalos will be accepting one as well. I don't know. But we love having her here. I really appreciate your time, Emily. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much.
When we return, Miranda Dunlap from Wisconsin Watch will be here to talk about the shortage of 911 dispatchers in Brown County. You want to stick around, stay close, stay hydrated. You are amazing. Let no one tell you differently. This is Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. See you soon.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.